Welcome back. You're tuning into the second half of Community Players on 91.5 Jazz and More.
My name is Zachary Green. I'm your host. Sitting in with me today, I have Katrina Sandigo, who is with the Anti-Defamation League right here in Las Vegas. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, thank you.
So we were just talking about bullying in your program that's called FACES, which is Family and Community Engagement Services. And what you guys are really striving to do is to go into schools and teach parents and students about hate and bullying and some of its forms so they can see it in the beginning and sort of attack it head on. A question that I was sort of left with before we closed out and went to break, should a child or should the child's parent stand up to a bully?
That is an awesome question. We always encourage children and parents to stand up in a respectful manner. Violence should not beget more violence. And we always encourage children to either talk to a trusted adult or to confront the person doing the bullying in a respectful manner and informing them to the best of their ability, and obviously keeping themselves safe to make sure that they are, they understand that it's not an appropriate behavior for them, that they don't want this kind of behavior coming from this child anymore. Oftentimes, especially in the early stages of bullying, we see kids just kind of don't understand that their friends don't like that behavior. It comes from a place of not understanding or not knowing. Whereas, if you let it go on for much longer and it becomes okay because you never say anything, it's much harder to stop that behavior.
It seems like it would be a lot easier to nip it in the bud with kids who might be in elementary school, because it's not as, how you say, maybe dogmatic or maybe a bit more inclined to maybe turn towards racism or something of the sort as you transpire into middle school or high school. And it also kind of feels like if you stand up to your bully in middle school or high school, they're just going to sort of shrug you off and keep doing what they're doing. How can students overcome that?
Yeah, so there's lots of – so every school has a plan in place. When a child reports bullying to a teacher or an administrator, they are required by law to investigate the situation within a certain amount of time. If that claim of bullying is founded and they're able to, to figure out what's going on, school then puts in place what they call a safety plan. So a place where the child can go that they feel safe, a place and they also will, go as far as removing, making sure that the two children that are doing the bullying, or not that are doing the bullying, but that are involved in the bullying incident, are separated as much as possible to make sure that they don't get picked on more, right? One of the concerns of all parents that we have worked with, and if I report this, they're going to know. Well, if we don't report it, then it keeps happening and it gets worse, and we certainly don't want that either. But what we do want to make sure happens is that the child that's doing the bullying and the child that is getting the help that they need. So if it's a situation where the child's habitually doing this and they really need assistance, by reporting it, that child can get the counseling that they need. They can get the social services that they need if it's stemming from some of those sources. But if we don't do anything at all, both kids lose out.
What's a good way to open up that door of talking to your child about bullying, whether they are maybe being a bully if you notice it, or they're getting bullied?
Right. So it can be a tough question, right? Sometimes as our kids get older, they don't necessarily want to talk and share things with us the way that they used to. But what I always encourage families to do is to take an approach of having the conversation before it happens, if you're able to, of course. If you're not able to still have a similar conversation, but to focus the conversation around expectations and what the child wants to see happen. We see our children get older, they want less and less involvement sometimes with our parents, and they want to have more control of the situation and how it gets handled. So really taking into account their thoughts and feelings about it and saying, if this happens to you, this is when I want you to come to me. If you get hit at school by someone, tell an adult at school, and then you do need to tell me when we get home. But if it's a name-calling situation, for example, you know, maybe that's something that they feel more confident about handling on their own. But I also think it's just important to, you know, you can use everyday examples. You can use the television shows that we watch on TV together, the other, you know, social media type things that we see all of the time. You can use real life examples. And that is such an easy way to have a conversation with kids. And, you know, sometimes it's a little hard to pull the first few words out of our kids, but they eventually do come around and have things to share with their adults and how they can help and be part of that work with them.
And I think that the fantastic thing is that you guys are working in this example with students and with parents. But if you are a parent of a student, you're going to learn these valuable skills of identifying bullying. You're going to see where it happens, and maybe you'll even start to notice it in your own workplace, or maybe you'll start to see it in your everyday life, and you can become that person who's an advocate, or become that person who can acknowledge it, stand up against it, and help to stop the cycle. Because it doesn't just stop once you leave primary school.
Absolutely. And that is definitely one of the things that I hear from parents quite often when we're in these workshops, is that they listen to the signs and symptoms and some of the behaviors and say, oh, wow, I have seen that happen to someone I know at work or to a family member by someone else. So it really does give them something tangible to take away that doesn't just affect the child, like you said, but it can affect their day-to-day life. It can affect, you know, those that they attend worship services with and share that information with. Or, you know, information with their child's Boy Scout or Girl Scout group. So,
well, let's talk about your guys' Walk Against Hate event, which is taking place on March 29th of this year. And correct me if I'm wrong, the theme is A Step in the Right Direction.
Yes. So every year, this is our fourth year having the Walk Against Hate. We're very excited to be putting it on again at the Springs Preserve. It's such a great location for families during the walk itself and then after. But we have a great group of entertainment that comes out, some local entertainment, and then along our walk path, which is the Springs Preserve, the walk, you get to experience Springs Preserve if you've never been out there. But the best part is you're coming out as a community and saying that we do not tolerate as a community hate in any form. We stand together. We support each other. And, you know, as someone who's a lifelong resident of Las Vegas, I can't think of a more Las Vegas thing, is that when something happens in our community, we all show up for each other. And that's really what this is about.
Tell me a bit more about what this event means to you personally.
Well, so personally and professionally, we honor our No Place for Hate schools at our Walk Against Hate, which is just a great opportunity to get our participate in our bullying prevention program out to the walk. Every student that wants to attend that goes to a No Place for Hate school is paid for by a very generous donor of ours to ensure that every child has the ability to come to the walk and experience that. But they also get to, you know, they get to see what their hard work has put in. They actually get to take a moment to kind of see the whole community come together around them and celebrate them as a school for taking a step in the right direction and making a positive impact at their school and creating an environment where bullying isn't acceptable by anyone.
What should we wear to the event?
What should you wear to the event? Well, you should wear sunscreen because we live in a desert. And even though it's March, you should definitely wear sunscreen. But you should probably plan on wearing some comfy walking shoes. It's about a mile, mile and a half round trip. And so it's not a 5K. You don't need to pack your walking shoes or your iPhone situation for music for the long run. But you do need to make sure you've got some comfy shoes on and shorts. And we actually provide you a shirt that day, a very cool limited edition for each year shirt that we make here locally in Las Vegas as well for our Walk Against Hate. So every year our colors change a little bit. So this year we're doing some yellows and blues, and it's hopefully going to be really bright and sunny that day also, and we'll have a nice blue sky and some yellow sun with us.
I love it. I love it. Katrina, this has been amazing. And you know, we did it before, but I have to do it again because I do it at the end of every show to do my little I believe statements with you. So hopefully you've had some time to think of some new answers, or they could be the same. It's up to you. Are you ready?
I am.
Okay. My work has the power to
change my community.
My community is
the greatest on earth.
My projects should be
fulfilling and meaningful.
I would change
the way that we perceive each other.
I love my
family and community.
I believe
that all of us have something valuable to bring to the table.
And the world should be more
kind.
Katrina, thank you so much for being on today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
Well, if you want to find out more information about the Anti-Defamation League, you can always visit them at their website. It's going to be adl.org. And don't forget to stop by their event, which is Walk Against Hate, taking place on March 29th of this year. And if you're really interested in the FACES program or their services, they have two more classes that are going to be held on this month at the 29th, and that are going to be in February on the 5th. You can always find out more information on their website. They have it all listed right there. This has been Community Players right here on 91.5 Jazz and More. Hey guys, welcome to Community Talks right here on 91.5 Jazz and More. My name is Zachary Green, and you already know who I am. I'm your host, but sitting in with me this week is my favorite friend, Kevin Krall. Kevin, welcome back to Community Talks.
Thank you for having me again.
So this week, we spoke with the Anti-Defamation League, and you know, our big theme is bullying. We're talking about bullying in schools, bullying, you know, friends, and even bullying in the workplace, and how it creates a toxic environment for everyone, and it helps to create hate among our community.
Absolutely. It's a very important topic to start hitting on, you know, all the interpersonal relationships that we have, like you said, both in school and workplace, because we carry that stuff home without even really thinking about it, and we want to be good to our loved ones. So the Anti-Defamation League is doing a great job of trying to make everybody just a brighter and better person.
I think that they are doing a fantastic job, especially with their FACES program. That's what we were talking about in our conversation, was this new program where they are going in schools, they are fighting bullying right at the source, and they're getting parents involved, and it's free. I think that's the coolest thing. You can come, you can sit in, and you can really just take the time to understand signs and symptoms of a child who is a bully or who might be getting bullied.
It's tough to spot without having that, you know, outside look, especially, you know, a lot of parents that as they get a little bit older, they might not really know what's going on school grounds these days. So it's important to get especially that free perspective to get an idea of what they're actually dealing with, who may be hurting their kids or who their kids may be hurting in some cases.
Exactly. And I think that it is very difficult to tell because in one person's life or another, I think we've all have been a victim of maybe bullying or of harassment or hazing in a sense. And we may not even know it. So it's good to know these signs. It's good to talk with someone, to talk with a group of people who has made this their mission to sort of put an end to it, to create a brighter community.
100%. It's you know, you brought up hazing as an example. It's important that everybody just sort of has a bit of perspective about the kinds of dangers that are really out there. Because as you said, people may not even know that they've been targeted. And in some cases, people might not even know that they're doing some of these harmful things. And all we can do is educate.
I completely agree. Another thing they have in March is their Walk Against Hate event. And Kevin, I think you know how much I love events. They're just so cool to me. And with this event, they are really making it their mission to bring the community together, to put on this walk, to sort of isolate and obliterate the sense of racism, this sense of anti-Semitism, of dogmatism in the community, to really just have a day of unity with everyone.
Absolutely. And something that's even better about this is it's an opportunity to bring people together from different, you know, communities. You can have families from different schools meeting together, and it helps people who've been targeted feel just that much less alone, that much more connected with other people who've had similar experiences. It's wonderful.
That's a great point. And it's a great opportunity to make new friends, whether you are a child, whether you are a teenager, or if you're an adult, if you are in a work community and you started taking part in these programs and you can acknowledge and empathize with someone else. I think it really creates that sense of community bonding with one another. Kevin, we are out of time, but thank you so much for being on this week.
Thank you for having me back.
Well, if you want to find out more information about Community Players, you can always visit us at the KUNV.org website. Community Players would not be possible without our amazing staff of just production people, of Kevin, of Samantha, of our interns, and just of our fantastic community here at UNLV. Community Players will be back next week.
For a rebroadcast of this show and other Community Player segments, visit 915jazzandmore.org.